Welcome back to another episode of Kindred Conversations. I'm Paris Tews.
And I'm Brittany Fry. And I will start with my moment of gratitude today. I had these paper whites that I bought in late November planning for Christmas time. I thought these will be so lovely. I had them on my table. My home doesn't get a lot of natural light. Anyway, I've mentioned I have this whole lighting routine in my house that it's like you wake up, you open all the blinds, you turn on the lights, then as the day goes on, you turn off some lights, turn on light. You know, it's just like I'm constantly working with the light to make sure that we get optimal light at all moments. Anyway, these paper whites, they were sitting on my table. They were so lovely, but they just would absolutely not grow. I kept like just like with one little finger digging around in the soil, like, come on, where are you? Looking for the little green stems popping out. And anyway, they just were growing so slow. And eventually I moved them to the window above my kitchen sink, which I had wanted them as centerpieces. So that's why they were on the table. Anyway, they're not growing at all. So I moved them to my kitchen sink and the window above my kitchen sink, and we get a lot of light on that side of the house, and started watering them every day and just leaving them there. And before, when they'd been on the table, I'd had to like move them around the house to different windows to try and get more light. Anyway, finally I'm like, I'm not putting that much effort into it. I'm just putting them here. We're going to water them. We're going to leave them here. We're going to see what happens. Anyway, it is now Valentine's Day is tomorrow. And they are in bloom, my paper whites, 2 months later, 2.5 months later.
But you know what? Perfect timing. That's when we need the real boost.
Okay, so honestly, I have to say, I have been honestly emotional about it, probably more than I should be. But I just thought I wanted these paper whites at Christmas. And we had this lovely Christmas tree and all this greenery in my house. And it was like such a fun, festive time. And I didn't really need the paper whites. And little did I know I was going to need the paper whites in February. We have had just like the roughest week. And all of a sudden I look at my window and here are these beautiful paper whites in bloom that just came at the most perfect time that I didn't realize I was going to need 2 months ago. And I've been laughing that they were the slowest growing paper whites I could have ever had. But they just came right when they needed to. And honestly, I've thought that is such a great metaphor for us and for people, that sometimes it just feels like we are so slow growing and the things that we want to come to fruition just aren't coming when we want them. And we're working, we're going above and beyond to do all these things that just aren't working, right? We're working almost like swimming upstream to try to get this to come to fruition, and it won't. And then just at the most opportune moment, there we are, we bloom, and these beautiful moments come to fruition. And I think that so much of life actually works out that way if we can just lean into those good times. And I think sit through the really hard times, which is like partly what I love about this podcast, is I feel like we have each other and we have this amazing community so that we can, in parenting, sit through these hard moments and sit in solitude, but also sit in this community and understand that we have, you know, we have each other's backs, and also that we're not alone. Anyway, and eventually, right at the right time, there will be beauty and goodness. And anyway, that's my moment of gratitude today.
That's beautiful. I don't even want to say anything. That's just perfect. And I also admire you so much that you have had the roughest week, and here you are noticing these paper whites blooming on your kitchen window. You know, that says so much too. And it's so easy when you get in those, when you have those times that feel hard, to be able to point out and see, like, while you're in it, like, look at this lovely little sign that is just perfectly timed. I'm so glad you shared that. So I am feeling grateful today. We had to run a quick errand. I say quick, but is anything ever quick when you have three kids? And actually, I didn't even have
absolutely
three kids.
Absolutely not.
So, no, I didn't even have three kids. I had two kids, and we were running into a store for one thing. I had Lola and Cecilia, so I had my two little girls, and Miles was like, you have to pick me up a sucker on the way home. And I had taken the little girls to a little girls activity, and so I told them I was going to get a sucker. Anyways, I stopped so quickly to run in, and anyway, we get to the little aisle. Lola had a sucker, by the way, just for context. She had a sucker. I was picking up one so her brother could match and just be fun. We were just trying to be fun, trying to include him. And of course, Lola is two, so she doesn't have a whole lot of impulse control. So she doesn't really care that she has a sucker. She sees the candy bar and she wants everything. So she starts to try and take off all the glass jar tops. And I'm holding Cecilia, and I didn't even bring her carrier because, like I said, like I was planning, I knew exactly where they were. I was grabbing it, leaving. It's a small store. It was going to be so quick. And Lola decides to throw like full on tantrum in the store. And so she's laying on the ground. I'm trying to like drag her to the register. I'm holding Cecilia, who's so little, and I can't put her down. And the nicest lady was there. She just comes up to me. She's like, how can I help you? How can I help you? And she's like, she gets down on Lola's level. She's like, can I hold you? And Lola, this was very unusual for her, but she just went right to her.
Oh my gosh.
She held her while I checked out. And then she walked her to my car and put her in her car seat. And she was just so kind.
I love this woman.
Yes, of course. She's like, I have kids of my own. I remember this. She just made me feel so much less alone, honestly, as a mom. And I was laughing on the way home just thinking, you know, I probably would have felt a little bit embarrassed with my first or maybe my second kid. And honestly, with my third kid, I'm like, all pride is gone.
Yeah, out the window. I've been humbled. Thanks.
I have none. Like, thank you. Just thank you. I need you. I can't do this on my own. And you can see that I can't do it on my own. And that is okay. And I'm just so grateful for the women around me that see my needs and help me. And honestly, it happens regularly. You know, I have two kids under two, and I've had strangers hold my babies like multiple times. Just right, like, right. Can you just hold her for a second while I'm putting, you know, I just need more hands. And I'm grateful for all the people that just come out of the woodworks to help a mom who clearly needs help. And I'm grateful for the way that my pride has just been stripped, because it's been a growing experience. And it has been good to rely on, just good to be able to accept that I don't have it all together. And there's something really beautiful about that.
So. Oh, totally. I agree. I don't know. Three kids. I don't know what it is. It's the magic number for when you will be completely humbled. But also, and I'm not just saying this, I truly do. And I feel like this was reflected in what you just said. It's honestly in the best way. Like, yes, it is chaotic. But I also feel like a little bit with two kids before, I felt like things were crazy, but I was still trying manageable. To keep, yes. And I was still trying to keep it all together all the time. I wanted total control.
Yeah.
And now with three, I feel like in the best way, I've totally accepted the fact that I don't have total control.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
We're working with it.
Yeah. We've accepted that we actually need help from strangers.
Exactly. Which is like you did before, but now you're like, there's no pretense here. Like, so I love that.
We're going to take a quick break from today's episode to tell you about our sponsor for the episode today, Garn.
Okay, I am thrilled about this sponsor. It's been one that honestly I've been looking forward to all winter long, and I'm really excited. Honestly, timing-wise, I feel like we're still in the middle of winter months, so you can still use the baby suit or the hat, but also we're headed into spring. So they have this beautiful sweater that I'm hoping to buy for Eloise for spring. I've actually thought about purchasing, they have the cutest colors, a cream, a blue, and a pink, and I've thought about purchasing the pink for Valentine's Day. So if you're needing an idea for a daughter, I thought that was the cutest thing. All of their products are 100% merino wool, so they're amazing layers that you can wear in the wintertime. They are not thick, but they're extremely warm and cozy. They're moisture wicking, so they'll keep your littles warm all through whatever kind of outdoor or cold play you are doing. Both Paris and I have baby suits that we use on our little girls and have thoroughly, thoroughly loved them.
The quality is incredible, and we are so excited to be partnering with them because we just really believe in this company and these products. And you can use our code KINDRED20 to get 20% off of your purchase at shopgarn.com.
And you can also visit them on their Instagram, which is shop.garn, to just see the products and the cutest owner. She has all these really cute videos showcasing how she uses the products and where the inspiration came from. So thanks so much for shopping using our code KINDRED20.
Okay, today's episode has been on our mind for a while. We are going to be talking about the duality of motherhood. And this is going to be just a candid conversation, a little bit less planned than some of our others are. And yeah, I just wanted to talk about it. As you have heard, I am just drowning right now and also so happy and grateful. And the most educational thing of motherhood for me has been that it can all coexist. And that is something that has been kind of baptism by fire. And I remember when I first had a baby and like when I was pregnant, you know, everyone tells you, oh, it's the hardest thing, but the best thing. And I think for a little while there, I was kind of like, oh, they must just not love being a mom as much as I do. Or they must not be like as obsessed with their kids as I am. But the longer that I am a mother, the more I just realized, no, this is soul stretching. This is so difficult. And that does not take away from the fact that it is the best thing that I have ever done. It brings me the most joy that I have ever had. And it's also been the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I really didn't think that that could come together in a package. I kind of just like, in my naivety, I just thought that it wouldn't be that way for me because right. I was so obsessed with my kids.
Right. You know, something came to me as you said that I actually hadn't thought about as I was taking notes, but I was thinking, I can see what you're saying when you first have a baby that you're like, oh, I've heard other people say this, but that doesn't necessarily apply to me. And I don't know that I felt like I was so obsessed with my kids, so I wasn't going to think that, but I definitely, in some way or another, it didn't feel like the hardest thing I'd ever done. And it also didn't feel like the best thing I'd ever done. It just felt like something I was doing, you know, and of course I, you know, that's not to say that I'm not so in love with my children, but anyway, a thought that came to mind was that I do think that there is an element here of pregnancy and postpartum mental health as well that I hadn't actually even thought of before. But I really struggled with postpartum depression after both Brooks and Wells. I would say it was worse after Wells, but I mean, they're so close together. It honestly was kind of a blur for a few years there. And I honestly think a part of me feeling like that didn't apply to me was that I couldn't necessarily, my coping mechanism very much so is numbing out. And I couldn't necessarily feel either end of the spectrum. I didn't let myself feel like it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. And I also didn't let myself feel like it was the best thing I'd ever done. And I don't even think that that was necessarily on purpose. I do think a lot of that is just the way your mind works and your subconscious and whatnot and mental health. But I am now realizing that being able to experience both extremes, being able to hold these two truths in your mind that seemingly shouldn't or may at first glance not appear to go together is actually a really, really healthy place to be. And I think that that's actually an ideal place to be where you can allow yourself to experience something so difficult and so hard and also so wonderful and so heartwarming beyond words in both cases.
Yes.
Anyway, I just feel like that's an interesting observation I've made that as I have gotten to a better place mentally that also my range of emotions has increased. And now with a, you know, 5-year-old, I can say looking back at my 5 years of motherhood, you know, 5+ a pregnancy, this is for sure the hardest. I can say, oh, I relate to that statement in every inch of my being. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when Miles was a baby, he was a very, I wouldn't go quite so far to say he had colic, but he was a fussy baby. Like maybe he had colic. I'm not really sure. We couldn't ever really figure it out, but he just cried all the time. I was thinking about that while I was holding Cecilia today. I think I spent Miles's in like the first year of his life. I spent 80% of my time trying to get him to take a nap. Just like he would be happy and stop crying. And honestly, getting to age 1 and feeling like he only needed one nap a day, it was such a relief because I was like trying to get him to nap so much. And I felt like he needed it and he wouldn't do it. And so he was so tired and he was spitting up all the time. And so he was nursing all the time. And he was just like, he was a he was honestly a really, really hard baby. And especially after having my second, I could say like, oh my gosh, he was such a hard
Look
baby.
At the contrast.
Yes. Yes.
Which and honestly makes me laugh. I just have to say just last week, I said to Johnny, do you remember the first dinner we ever went to at the Tears?
Oh my gosh, I remember it.
He was like, no. And I reminded him, it was a group dinner we went to. There were four couples and all of us had one baby. And I just told
him. And I think my baby was, I was going to say he was the youngest, but I don't think he was. But he was definitely younger than Brooks.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was a couple months younger. Yeah, Brooks. And I remember, I just said, it's so funny looking back because those days, I remember were hard and now we can laugh about them. At least I can. I don't know if you can.
We can laugh. We have permission.
But I just said, I remember Paris wearing Miles, standing up the whole dinner, wearing him in a carrier, bouncing him the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, when I think back to that first year of our friendship, like that was so much of it. Was you
Me
bouncing
Miles,
trying to get him, either that or you leaning over his car seat,
oh
trying to nurse
gosh.
In the car.
My
while you're
will
driving.
Never be the same. Oh my gosh. And honestly, Cecilia has like some similar tendencies. Not as bad, but like definitely some similarities. And I remember breaking down just a few weeks into motherhood and being like, I think my baby's actually pretty hard. Like, I didn't want to say this
Finally
is hard.
Finally accepting it.
Yes, yes. And also at the very beginning, you know, that's all people know to ask you, like, oh, is he a good baby? Does he sleep? And it just like broke my heart to be like, no, but like, I still love him so much. Right. I promise. Like, that's all that people have to gauge. Even now people ask me, Cecilia, like, is she a good baby? Like, that's what people say. Is she a good baby? I'm like, what's she like? I'm like, she's perfect. Of course, she's perfect. She's everything I could have dreamed of. But like, she's not an easy baby and that's okay. And I'm still so obsessed with her and she screams a lot and it's really hard, but like, it's okay. I love her. And trying to kind of come to terms with that as a new mom of like, okay, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, but it doesn't mean I have to not be in love with it. And it doesn't mean that I can't experience the joys that come with it. And I don't have to love every minute. And that doesn't mean that I'm not a good mom. And that was like really such a learning experience for me right at the beginning. And it's something that is just carrying forward.
Oh, for sure. Well, another thing I think is interesting, I mean, our children are still relatively very young.
Yes, for sure.
But even now I can see that the phases of a difficult baby are just so different from the phases of a difficult toddler or the phases of a difficult – or I shouldn't say of a – I should – reword that to the difficult phases of a toddler or the difficult phases of a young child or the et cetera, as they grow. And it's really interesting as the mom to experience those things because it is so soul stretching and in truly every way imaginable.
Yeah.
That they need you one way from the day they're born. And that will constantly be evolving and changing over the course of it. But also, so are all of the wonderful things about them.
Yeah.
As a baby, there's, like you said, there's not a lot to gauge. People are like, are they a good baby? And you're like, I mean, they're wonderful. I love them. But what does that mean? Like,
yes.
Are they hard, easy? Like, you know.
Yes, and when they're toddlers, are we gauging our love of being a mother by how many tantrums they throw?
Right.
You know, like
right.
them throwing a tantrum, it's a sign that they're developmentally healthy and that they feel attached to you and that you have a good relationship. You know, that's healthy. That's good. And it doesn't mean it's not so frustrating and so hard, but it comes together to be an experience that just makes you grow like absolutely none other.
I totally agree. Okay, we wrote down a few separately, wrote down a few ways that you sort of experience this duality or ways that you've observed this duality in your own mothering. And I'm curious to know what are some of the things you put down.
Okay. This is one thing I was thinking is so interesting. I think I have felt more isolated as a mom than ever because I literally have to schedule my bathroom breaks. You know, I had to go to the bathroom this morning and I was thinking, okay, what do I do with this kid? And like, it's a mental exercise to figure out when I can go to the bathroom. I can't just go because my kids aren't safe, unsupervised for 4 minutes. Anyway, so that does feel isolating, you know, and you talking about me like bouncing while we're all at dinner, like that is a that honestly brings back some emotions, because there were times, and honestly, like, there are times when I have newborns that, you know, they don't sit in their car seat, and I will go to dinner with friends, and I will, like, I have so many memories of specific restaurants where I will just like, oh yeah, we came to dinner and I was outside the whole time, like, trying to get them to stop crying. And like, I was watching through the window, like, these other people have this experience that I was just on the outside of. And, you know, we laugh at that. We've laughed at that picture on this podcast before.
Yeah, I was thinking of, I knew what picture.
It is iconic to me. Like, I will look back on this phase of life and be like, yes, that is it. There's this photo of my family, and we were on a trip to California, and we're sitting on the beach, and it's like my siblings and my mom sitting all huddled together on a beach towel, all in their swimsuits. And then I'm like 6 feet back to the side, like close enough that I could like chime in every once in a while.
Like, you're still in the frame.
I'm still in the frame, but like
definitely not with the group.
Yes, like 6 feet away, nursing a baby in the shade, you know? And it's like, it's not like they were trying to exclude me or they were doing anything wrong. Like, it's just my baby needed to nurse and I need to be somewhere else.
And
like,
you're also smiling at the picture. Yes. You're also looking and
yes,
smiling.
Like, I'm happy to be spending time with my family. I'm happy to be with my baby, but I'm also like not able to
fully. But you're
fully,
also removed. Yes. You're not able to fully
enjoy my family.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was so, my mom saw that picture and she immediately just like laughed so hard because she did it too. And it's just, it's just part of the gig and it's okay. And so that feeling of isolation has, like, it just, it's part of being a mom. And I don't think it's something that I need to get so sad about. It's just part of the gig. And along with that, I have found the most amazing community. Like, the way that that woman at the store just felt like my friend immediately, that instant connection, that camaraderie that we had because we've both had children, and she knew exactly what I was going through in that minute. And the friendships that I have made in motherhood are by far the deepest I've ever been able to make, because we need each other. And those feelings of isolation amplify the feelings of connection that I now have with my friends, and even my friends that aren't moms. You know, I feel more connected to, because I feel things deeper and I am able to feel closer, and it's all just amplified because of that.
I put something so similar in my list, but it's like slightly different in that I also put that it can feel very lonely. But the interesting thing to me that I find this sort of juxtaposition is that I can feel so lonely and yet never have a single moment alone. And that has been so interesting to me, to balance these feelings of internally feeling lonely and externally never having a minute to myself. Honestly, internally never having a minute to myself. Sometimes, yeah. I feel like I can't even think, you know, you have somebody constantly talking to you, asking you questions. Today, the questions in the car. Johnny was actually riding in the car with me today, and I think just out of routine, my kids naturally will talk to me when we're in the car, just because that's usually, it's just me and them.
Yeah.
And so Johnny's in the car also, but he doesn't have to respond. So they're always like, "Mom, Mom." And then the questions they ask are just the most absurd, random. And you have to hang on to, sometimes I find myself drifting mid-question.
Because they're so long. Yes. And about Paw Patrol.
Like, right. And then I come back in at the end to catch the last few words, and then they turn to me just waiting for the right answer. And sometimes I'll say, "I don't know. Mom, tell me, Mom." And I just am in this moment. I'm like, can I never have a thought to myself? Anyway, Johnny caught me in one of those moments today, and I'm like, this is what it's like. Sometimes I just need to think.
Yes.
Anyway, that's been really interesting to me to allow myself to feel both of those things, to understand that it's okay to feel alone and also to feel alone in one way and also in another way to crave being alone.
Yeah.
And I think there's obviously different reasons for those, but that's been a very, very interesting, and I feel very specific to young motherhood feeling that I've had.
Yes. And not even motherhood, but young motherhood where their physical needs are in such high demand.
Yeah.
Okay. Another place that I see it that I think is so interesting is sometimes I feel like I don't really have a purpose, you know, so like I'll just have a crisis every once in a while where I'm like, do I just exist as for my body to be a vessel to feed these children and to take care of them? And you know what's the point? Like, what do you guys do? That sounds so depressing and I don't really mean it that way. But, you know, sometimes I do just feel like, you know, it's Groundhog Day and it doesn't always feel like I have this really strong purpose. And then on the other end, I feel so deeply in my bones that what is more important than raising these children? And it is so fulfilling, but not all the time. And that's been so interesting to me to learn. Like, I do find so much purpose and so much meaning in raising them. But at the same time, like, that can't be my only purpose, but it's really easy to slip into that. And finding that balance has been very educational for me as I've learned about what I value and what the world values and what is important to bring into my home. And it's just been so interesting to have all of that exist at once.
That is interesting. I was reminded, I subbed for a friend's tennis class the other day. And as we were walking out, it was just so fun. There's something about playing sports as an adult that I never knew the high I could get from it. It's just so wonderful in so many ways. And I was walking out just on this high, and my friend turns to me and we're talking about how great it is. And she just said this thing that I just keep thinking and laughing about. She said, "It's just so nice to have a lesser purpose for an hour." And I truly haven't stopped laughing about it.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Because I just understood so deeply what she meant by that.
That is that so
although
funny.
Although you're doing all of these mundane tasks, it feels like everything you're doing is so high pressure. Your purpose is so meaningful and so wildly high performing. That just for an hour to feel like your only purpose is to hit the dang ball over the net, like,
so
it's feels so freeing.
Good. Such a relief. Okay, but also on the flip side of that, there are moments where I'm like, I changed 6 poopy diapers today. I did the dishes for hours and I sorted socks and I scrubbed the floor. Like not that I'm above these tasks, but like there are just things where I'm like, Do you need me for this specifically? And just having that all in the same day feels wild.
Oh, for sure. I can relate on so many levels. And I do think sometimes I have to catch myself when I'm feeling like that, because as much as I wish away small moments, sometimes I tell myself, oh, when all the kids are in school, I'm going to really go into this thing or whatever. I mean, I currently have a lot going on outside of just my kids as well. So it does feel like I'm juggling quite a few balls. But sometimes I tell myself, oh, you know, every kid that goes in full time to school, I can like give a little more to this thing or a little more to that thing. And I have to catch myself every once in a while and just remember that although it's so consuming right now because we're in it, that in just a few short years, I will look back and realize how fast that went.
Yeah.
And I think just having that perspective for me has been really helpful to remind myself, I don't want to wish this away.
Yeah.
Enjoy this while I can. Be here while I'm here. Do the diapers. Do the sock sorting. You know, I'm in this.
Along with that comes everything else. You know, the changing of the diapers isn't so meaningful, but, you know, the caring for my daughter that needs her diaper changed is so important.
Oh.
And that's so valuable. And it does feel so valuable. And at the same time, you know, sometimes I feel like a housemaid.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Sometimes. Okay, wait, that actually goes into the other area that I put down, which I put, I feel out of control in so many ways. Yet also I do laugh that I am ultimately the one that's entirely in charge.
You're the boss.
And it makes me laugh because you talk about the changing the diapers. Sometimes it does feel a bit like you're just taking orders from other people all day long.
So you remind yourself, you're the boss.
It is funny in that way that I do think I in so many ways delight in being in charge, especially we've talked about this, but especially in summertime.
Yeah.
When, or even seasonally, I definitely feel
like
that.
Like the holidays. Exactly. It's so fun.
Yeah. Seasonally, for sure. Every season or holiday has a moment that you're like, this is it. I get to decide. And we have this, I get to create the magic and I get to be present for it. Or we get to experience this in my home, however I want to. But on the flip side, it does feel like you are absolutely in control of nothing because you could do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, there are other beings who get to decide what they want yeah. and how they're going to respond. And that has been sort of an interesting, I don't know, thing to balance.
Yes. Okay. The last one that I have is I am exhausted. I'm so tired, but also I am so energized. Like I am having the time of my life. Like today we were in IKEA and I was trying to get my kids home quick because Cecilia was crying. So she was crying and she was in her car seat in the cart. Lola, she didn't want to sit in the cart. So I was like trying to make it fun for her because we were in a hurry. Cecilia was crying. So I put Lola in the cart and then Miles was hanging onto the cart. And so we were like running through IKEA, not at full speed.
Those carts are so bad.
They are so hard to control, especially Miles was on the side.
Strength. It is a full on core.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for the validation. Because I'm going to be sore in the morning. But basically what we were doing is Miles was on the side. So it was like so side heavy. So I was going so fast. And then I would like put all my weight into it and we would like drift to the side and like just drift and my sneakers would slide on the floor and then we'd keep going and Cecilia was screaming and Miles and Lola were just giggling. Lola just kept saying more, more, more. She loved it. And I was like, this is so fun. Like this is so dumb and so fun. And like, I'm giggling with my kids running through IKEA. Like, this is a blast. Miles may have been up every hour last night with growing pains, but like now I'm having a ball and just like what else is as fun as motherhood? Like there is nothing. It is an opportunity to be a child again in so many ways and I am obsessed with it.
Okay, that's so sweet. I really love that. And honestly, such a great mindset to have to really embrace experiencing childhood again, even if it's from a different perspective this time around. Okay, lastly, I put that this has been really interesting, especially in the last year, and I kind of talked about it previously, but to feel like in so many ways, you are not moving at all. And I talked about this actually with my moment of gratitude, to feel in so many ways like you are stagnant. It feels like you are changing diapers all day. It feels like you are swimming upstream. It feels like you are running yourself dry and then you have nothing to show for it. So many days feel like that. But then years, you know, here we are 5 years down the road. And I truly tell myself every day, I am amazed at my growth as an individual, not even as a mom. As an individual, as Brittany, I am proud of who I am and I'm not done. Like I have so many places to go, so much growth to have from here, but I'm not going to stop here. You know, in the midst of all of the details and all of the little things that you're doing that feel so mundane and feel difficult because they are difficult and can feel like you are not growing. I feel like there's that little
movement underground that we don't see. And then one day there is the bloom and we look back and we think, oh my gosh, that was happening that whole time. And I just didn't see it. Anyway, that's been really interesting for me as I have now become pregnant, gone through pregnancies and birthed and raised these three children. And like you talked about, just being so humbled where I have truly felt that. And in so many ways, I feel like we are the ultimate mess. Like it is absolute chaos at every given moment of every day. And at the same time, being so proud of where we are at and where I am at personally. I'm just really grateful for that. I had written in my notes, motherhood is wildly heartwarming and soul stretching and also so lonely and grueling. And you, me, we are growing so much, but it can also feel like you are getting nothing done. One moment you think your heart will burst from feeling loved and giving love, and the next you wonder if anyone sees you. Motherhood at its core is juxtaposed, but I want to believe that it's the duality, this idea that two things are true, that makes it worthwhile and blesses you with the gift of perspective, ultimately, which in my mind is, I mean, perspective is wisdom. Like perspective is the thing that allows you to really experience life. So ultimately, I'm just keep thinking this feeling of duality, this experiencing both ends of the spectrum is nothing but goodness. It's so hard, but it's so good.
I agree. And you know, at the core of why we started this podcast is because we both want to love motherhood. We want to feel all of the joy that comes with motherhood, but we don't feel that joy by not feeling the hard and not acknowledging the hard. And I think it's so important to realize that these difficult things don't take away from this immense joy and gratitude and satisfaction that we have in our roles. And I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that, you know, I can be positive and uplifted and excited about my life and also be aware that there are things that are really hard. And it really does. It amplifies the good. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that.
Okay. I honestly loved having that chat and sitting down to think about it was so therapeutic for me in so many ways. So thank you for listening and we hope you join us next week.